Now I'm going to welcome Muruti Patrick Mundebele tonight. Greetings to Muruti. I just want to welcome you.
Sithanda nje ukubingelela mfundisi. Be greeted as well. And we just thank God to be here in this place. And as well as Tandu Bingelela, all the saints, the men and the women of God, the pastors, leaders of churches in their various designations, Siya Bingelela nje, wherever our listeners may be, wherever your listeners may be, as well, Ekamen Lengosi, Mvelwetu, Okamalayo, Elingu Jesu Christu.
Okay, yeah, we thank you, Muruti, for that. I just want to hear from you, how was your day, Muruti?
Mfundisi, Sundays are always tight, but again, Sundays are always wonderful because they are the times more especially that we use for fellowship, times that we use to refuel and to re-inject one another with the word of God. So the day was very well, Mfundiswami.
Okay. Now, Muruti, the reason why we have invited you tonight to join us, I want us to look into the topic about the succession in the church. And we know, Gori, well, in this earth, we are not going to stay here for long. Some, they leave us. Some, they are still here. And but I just want us to talk about succession in the church.
Amen.
How important is succession in the church? How should succession be done? Does it mean, for example, as Namibia, I have a child, and then when I feel worry, I'm no longer a fit, but I feel worry, I just want to rest. Can I take my son and say, my son, from today, you take over?
Well, the issues of church succession or succession plan of the church, I really believe they are rather sensitive in a sense that when it happens, it happens just after somebody who was operating in that particular position of ministry had either resigned or excommunicated, or perhaps through frailness, through illness perhaps, or through age, that person decided to retire, mm-hmm. or perhaps that person was you know, reached a point of departure,
okay.
point of death, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens during a very sensitive time. But again, as to who must take over the reins of leadership in the church, mm-hmm. when the senior pastor of the church has departed, I strongly believe that you cannot necessarily as an individual allow yourself to just simply choose, because at times you may be biased as to who you choose. You may choose the person that you like, you may choose the person that supported your ministry the most, you may choose the person that is closest to your heart, which sometimes is obviously can be your son, your daughter, your wife, and maybe your neighbor.
Okay.
You know, but I really believe that, you know, choosing as to who must take over the reins is something that shouldn't be taken being quick to do it. You know, people need to take time to reflect, take time to allow grief as well. You know, ngoba kuba khona isikhathi sokulila, especially when it has been a loss. You know, we see that happening as well. You touched the book of Deuteronomy 34. The children of Israel, you know, when Moses had departed, when mm-hmm. Moses died, you know, they took time to weep. But to be rather straight to the point, you cannot just necessarily say, I'm going to choose my son, I'm going to choose my neighbor. But because at times you might not even be there to be the one choosing, because at that time perhaps you retired, at that time perhaps you did.
Okay.
You know, so it may be difficult because sometimes it comes so suddenly to the point where you did not have the time. But what is most important, I really believe that it's important in the ministry, when you speak about, you know, the documents of ministry, mm-hmm. that you have the so-called, perhaps what I refer to as the succession plan document, mm-hmm. where it is properly narrated down as to how is your tradition in your type of the country, mm-hmm. or continent or area, how is the succession plan going to be arranged, mm-hmm. moving forward, so that it can, because it needs to be a tradition that moves forward from that generation to another.
Okay. So but now, tell me, Murudi, what if, like, the pastor is still alive?
Yeah.
And you see, or Norman, I cannot leave my legacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
In somebody that I
that is not even related to.
Yeah, that is not even related to me. and finding out, okay, he have a son, and the son is not called.
Yeah.
But it is his son.
Yeah. Well, now, perhaps in that case, you know, it's quite difficult, because now we first need to set our minds to understand, if I have started, or I have initiated, I founded a business.
Yeah.
It's my business.
Okay.
Because I founded it, I'm the one who came with the ideology of starting this business.
Okay.
For the sake of the generations that come after me in my family, which is my sons, my daughters, and my grandsons and my granddaughters, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But now, if we also take the church and use it as a personal business, then there becomes a problem, because the Bible clearly presents to us as to who is the owner of the church,
okay.
where Jesus Christ himself, you know, says, upon this rock I'll build my church.
Okay.
So we have to understand, if we want to then choose the next coming leader, we must consult the owner of this particular business, okay. of saving the souls,
okay.
which is to consult Jesus Christ, not necessarily to just choose on our own.
Okay. Now, tell me, Mood, when it comes to succession in the ministry, will a person be called? Like, let's say, let me put it this way. I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
I'm leading a church. Or I'm leading a ministry.
Yeah.
Then it happened, or I feel, or I need to put someone.
Yeah.
Would that person be called, or even if he's not called, I can just he can just take over as succession, or there must be a calling?
Well, to be called into leadership is in itself,
okay.
you know, a calling to some extent.
Yeah.
Unlike your callings to equip the church that you find in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 10, 11, 12, going down, where those are the calling into ministry.
Okay.
But now when we speak about leadership, there can also be a calling into leadership. But again, there can also be an election into leadership.
Okay.
Now, if there is no hierarchical structure, if there's only the senior pastor of the church, well, he, in essence, if he is the only one who has the authority to elect or to select, if he had prayed and he had trusted God about, you know, God presenting the new member of leadership, we see that happening, you know. But it does not necessarily mean that only that can happen.
Okay.
Only the senior pastor of the church can choose as to who must be, you know, the successor of the church.
Okay.
You know, when you read, I believe it's the book of Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
You touched of Deuteronomy earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
When you read the book of Deuteronomy, perhaps chapter, I believe it's chapter 34.
34, yes.
You know, you find the church, or rather you find Moses being the one who is narrated to have said, to have rather laid hands on Joshua.
Joshua, yes.
Yeah. So Moses on his own, you know, obviously when I'm saying on his own, I'm saying not consulting the people, but rather consulting God, because the Bible narrates to us that there was no greater a prophet than Moses. So we know for a fact, because of that, we know for a fact that Moses spoke to God and presented his wishes and aspirations and concerns to God. Okay. And we strongly believe, therefore, because of that, that the decision that Moses took was the decision that he himself was guided and given by the Lord. So it can happen, but in the churches that we have nowadays, we have ministries that have a structure, a leadership structure, where you have the senior pastor of the church amongst the elders of the church. He's the chief elder of the church. He's the senior pastor, or perhaps the chief elder of the church, or maybe the bishop of the church. But you also have people surrounding him and helping him in terms of leadership. You know, and I strongly believe that if there should be succession, then also the people in the position of leadership must also participate in terms of praying, and therefore in terms of the selection process of selecting the next person who must take over then the reins of leadership, or the responsibility thereof. I don't want to say the reins of leadership, because that sounds as though that person would be the king and the Lord. But when you're saying the responsibility of leadership, it makes better sense, because it is a very harsh responsibility, actually. It is a harsh responsibility.
So now, tell me, Murudu, as we have just... We just read in 34, that verse number 9. It is said, Moses has put his hand on Joshua and appointed him to be the new leader. Then Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. So the Israelites began to obey Joshua, and they did what the Lord has commanded Moses. Moses. Now, but when we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, it tells us that there was a point when Moses was tired. Actually, from Numbers also, it said in 11:17. Now it said, God said to Moses, select the men, but I'm going to fill them with the Spirit. Could in other words, God trusted Moses that he can do the right thing.
That he can select the men.
Yeah.
Because he has the inspiration of God.
Yeah.
You can only do that by the inspiration of God. When God has given you the command to select the man, therefore you select the man, because you are responding to the command of God. Because you remember, if God himself has already spoken, you don't need a second opinion. But rather to narrate to the people of what the Lord God, and when you heard him and heard him very clearly, that it was the Lord which was speaking to you, and the message was very clear to you. If you know that you know that you know that it was God who spoke to you, then you don't need to go ahead and doubt God, and then go ahead and second guess God, and then go and have election when God has already spoken. So there are cases where the leadership transition, it takes God himself to speak to a man, to say, take over now the reins. If it is that case, it is also acceptable, because it is God himself who directs the actions of man.
Okay. But, you know, where I got stride, you know, the stride that we see happening is something that is been happening already. When our Muruti must take over. I want to tell you, it's something that we have seen happening there already. When our Muruti must take over.
Yeah.
And that is what is happening.
Yeah.
And some they even say, no, when you read Numbers 11:17, I'm going to read really what it says. They interpret it the way they interpret. It said, then I will come down and speak with you there. The spirit in you now, but I will also give some of that spirit to them. Then they will help you take care of the people. In this way, you will not have to be responsible for these people alone. Now, what some are saying, they is taking this verse, or he said, the spirit that is in you, I will put it in there. He said, okay, because I gave birth to my son. Now it means that the spirit that I have, it is in my son.
Yeah.
Automatically they saying, it means worry, he must take over the church.
Yeah. We need to understand the different dispensations. During the dispensation of the law, you had the Spirit of God descending upon specific people that the Lord has chosen.
Okay.
For instance, the spirit of priesthood would descend from a priest to the son of the priest,
okay,
etc. And the spirit of leadership from the king's position, in most cases, would descend from the king, then to the sons, etc., etc., moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, so in those times, it was acceptable that the son of a priest would most automatically be the next priest to be. It did happen that way, even though from time to time God would step in if the sons of the priest were not good.
Okay.
For instance, the sons of Eli, where God then decided that now the man of God by the name of Samuel need to take over.
Yes.
You know, but there was nothing wrong at that time if the son of a priest then ascends into the throne of priesthood once the priest is gone.
Okay.
Because when you are growing in the environment where your father is a priest, automatically you are growing in a university of priesthood, so to say. Because you see what he does, you see how he does things, you see how he speaks to the people, you see how he does the sacrifices, you see how he conducts himself in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, etc.
Okay.
So, by tradition, that was created by God himself, saying, I will pour some of the Spirit to your sons, was basically a preordination.
Okay.
So, but it does not necessarily mean that in our dispensation, the very same process or transition can take place. Whilst in our times, the Lord has said to us in the book of Joel chapter 2, you know, that he has poured out his spirit upon all flesh. No longer the selected sons of kings and sons of priests and the prophets, therefore. You know, but in our times he has poured out his spirit upon all flesh, where sons and daughters can prophesy, can even take positions of leadership. Both sons and also daughters. So I would agree with the book of Numbers 11, obviously. You know, that the Spirit of God would be poured out to the sons as well. Because that is how God saw it fit in that particular time. And I think it was a good thing. So perhaps, let me also then dive into this. Now, that if your son is taking over the reins of ministry once you are gone, it does not necessarily mean that it's wrong. It can happen. But it does not mean it should happen.
Okay. All right. So actually we can say Moses could have chosen to select
his sons.
His son or her sister, Mary. I mean, Miriam. Can we say that? Because remember, Moses had Miriam.
Yeah.
Who was always, and Miriam was a prophet.
Amen.
Now, in other words, Guru, if it was according to Moses' wish, he could have done the same.
Well, as a man, if you're looking at it from a man's perspective, if you're not looking at it from your spiritual perspective, you would most likely choose somebody closer to you.
Yes.
You know, because they've seen how you've been doing things.
Yeah.
You know, you could have chosen, I mean, Moses could have chosen, obviously, could have chosen Miriam, because Miriam was a great prophet.
Yes.
You know, herself, she was a prophetess. You know, or Aaron, he was a priest.
Yeah.
Could have chosen himself. Could have chosen his sons, you know. Of course, the Bible in the book of Exodus speaks about, you know, Moses having two sons, you know. So it could have been like that, had it been the wish of Moses, perhaps. You know, I doubt that Moses, as a man, only could have easily just chosen Joshua out of all people. There were people like Bo-Uri, great men of God, which have walked with God and which are mature. Joshua was a young boy, you know. So, but it takes us to call upon the Most High God to give us direction.
Okay.
Because as human beings, we choose, our choosing as human beings is very biased. You know. Somebody who offended me and somebody who never supported me in ministry, it can be very difficult for me as a human being to choose that person, unless God Almighty points the hand towards that particular person.
Okay.
So that is why it's very important for us not to choose the people that we prefer. Because sometimes the people that we prefer, God has not accepted their election.
Okay.
You know, so it's very important for us to say, look, obviously we know that the church does not belong to me as an individual, even though I may say I am a founder of so and so church. But it does not necessarily mean I should take executive decisions without consulting the owner of the church.
Okay.
You know, so it is not wrong for the son. It's not wrong for the son of the pastor to take over the reins of ministry as a succession. You know, but as I said before, it's not a should, but it's a can. By that I mean it can be possible, it can happen, but it does not necessarily mean that it should happen.
Okay. All right. Let me take the messages. If you wherever you are, there's something that you want to ask us, I want to give you this number to engage with us. 083-289-4658, that is our WhatsApp number. Or you can just say +27832894658, 002783-289-4658. You are welcome to send us WhatsApp asking a question that you want to ask, whatever that you want clarity about the succession in the ministry. Remember, there are things that are happening. As I said, we are not going to live here for long. And things are happening, and we see a lot of things happening, and we also see pastors doing all those things. But if there's something that you wanna ask us, you are welcome to do so. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just gonna give you this song, and after this song, what we're gonna do, we are going to continue. When we come back, I want you to listen to this song, and when we come back, we are continuing.
There are times when we go through problems in our personal life, socially, financially, in your home, at the church. But there's one thing I want to say tonight. When you depend on Him, He will touch every area of your life. You will remain victorious, because the Word of God says we are more than conquerors. It does not say we are conquerors. It says we are more than conquerors. The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. We have already won, for He died for us. Shackled by your head, feel better. Need the Lord's guilt and shame.
To give Him the praise, and I. when He touches you. Lord, you'll never be the same.
He touched me.
And oh, the joy. One day he touched the water. In a wedding it became wine. You saw he's able. One day a ruler, his daughter was dying, and the Bible says as he's busy talking to him, the girl died. And this ruler said, my daughter is dead. Would you please come with me? You see, sometimes God expects you to make a first step. Then he meets you. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. So don't just sit down, move towards him. The Bible says when he got there, he saw this dead girl. He started to touch her, and he stretched the bones. She came back to life. There is no way you can remain the same when you meet him. He will change your destiny. He doesn't care about your past. What matters to God is what you are becoming. Your past is behind you, but your future is ahead of him. In him, there's everything. In him, there's protection. In him, there's provision. You can wave your hand. I don't know what problem you have, but he can change the situation. Jehovah Jireh who provides, Jehovah Rapha who heals. Something happened.
Something wonderful happened. And now
I know
he touched me. And
I just want to hear the piano and the voices. Come on, choir. He touched me.
He touched me.
By faith that you get to know him.
And all the joy,
unspeakable
joy, my soul.
For rivers will flow from inside your belly.
Something wonderful happened.
And I know.
And now.
Yeah, that is the man of God there saying Mutunzi Namba, giving us a song there. Ari, he touched me. And when he touched you, I tell you, you will never be the same again. If you allow him to touch you, even tonight, your life will never be the same again. You are still here at By the Grace Radio, the station that brings hope to the hearts and souls of the people, whatever it takes for a soul. We are just in the last hour of our show. The time is 21:07 CAT, Central African Time. Remember, it is still Sunday, the 13th of June, 2021. I'm with Pastor Patrick Mundebele as we are talking about the succession in the church. If you want to interact with us tonight, if there's a question that you want to ask us, you are welcome to do so. The number that you can use, the studio number is 083-289-4658. +27832894658 When you use those numbers, you'll be able to interact with us. You can just go to our website, radio.bythegrace.org, radio@bythegrace.org. Facebook, we are By the Grace Radio. Welcome back, Muruti, as we are still in the topic, church succession. I want us just to check the book of Acts chapter 6. Verse number 6, but we can start there from verse number 1. There's something that I just want us to check. It said, more and more people were becoming followers of Jesus. But during this same time, the Greek-speaking followers began to complain against the other Jewish followers. They said that the widow were not getting their share of what the followers received every day. The 12th apostle called the whole group of followers together. The apostle said to them, "It will not be right for us to give us our work of teaching God's work in order to be in charge of getting food for people. So, brothers and sisters, choose 7 of your men who have a good reputation. They must be full of wisdom and the Spirit. We will give them this work to do so. Then we can use all our time to pray and to teach the work or word of God." The whole group liked the idea, so they chose the 7 men: Stephen, a man with a great faith and full of the Holy Spirit; Philip, Ponserius and Nicata; Timo, Tamarius and Nicholas, a man from Antonia who has become a Jew. Then they put these men before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, why I'm reading this verse, I want us just to check here how the apostles, they handled the issue. In other words, we can say the apostles were preparing for succession of the church, because there was a point when the people were complaining, well, we don't getting our shares of right of food, until now the apostles said, no, you need to choose people who will do that. In other words, the disciples gave the congregation opportunity to select.
Yeah, well, if you look at verse 3, Buddhiswami, we just want to greet the listeners again in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that some of you have just joined us as we look at this very interesting point of view. Verse 3, when the word of the Lord says, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over there, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." Now, there are 2 things which I really feel we need to separate with this one as we look into this. That the when it comes to succession in ministry leadership, there can be nomination, but there's no election.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
There can be nomination, okay, but there's
can
no election.
Nomination. Okay.
Yeah. All right. But when it comes to the service in ministry, there can be nomination and election.
Okay.
Where these particular people, the 7 people here, which played the role or the responsibility of serving here, were chosen by the people, were chosen by the church.
Okay.
You know, based on what? Based on being full of the Spirit and wisdom.
Okay.
You know, these are the people which have the wisdom to execute the duties that are set before them.
Yeah.
Now, that the church can decide on that one.
Okay.
Okay. As to who are the people which have the capacity to serve as a responsibility. But when it comes to leadership, senior leadership of the church, it cannot be chosen by the people.
Okay.
It can be elected by the, it can be nominated by the people,
okay,
but chosen by God. Because there's no elections in the church.
All right.
Because when we elect...
so, Murud, while you are there, let me just... Okay.
Yeah.
Are we saying there's no election of selecting a pastor?
Yeah. There's no election in the church. We've never seen it. Okay. The closest to election, which was not election, was casting the lots. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 1.
Yeah.
When you read the book of Acts chapter 1, reading the narrative of replacing Judas, you remember Judas committed suicide.
Yes.
You know, and maybe let me just find it for now. The book of Acts chapter 1, perhaps only reading verse 20, you know, and going down with it, you know, it's speaking about the election, or rather the selection.
Yeah.
Let me rather use the word nomination of someone which was supposed to take over the role of an apostle.
Yes.
As a ministry leadership position, not necessarily as a responsibility of service to the church.
Okay.
So motho wa go fiela, motho wa go refa dijo, motho wa go lukisa sena le sena.
Okay.
Those we can choose those people based on their wisdom, okay, and knowing that they are having the Holy Spirit. They are okay. Having the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because how sna moyo halang habe akerejwale babangwe utlobangwa chela dijo tsenye.
Okay, yeah.
Habe these people were there to serve the people in terms of serving the tables with food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making sure that they divide the food parcels correctly for the widows and other people.
Okay.
You know, so it was needed that the people which are chosen have Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Okay. And the Spirit of wisdom as well, to be able to see what I call. Maralo, ukhona umuntu oyifemeli ongakunikeza ukudla, etc.
Okay.
So now here there can be nomination and election, because this is a service.
Okay.
This requires a particular skill
and
wisdom, of course, as well as the person who has and who hears from the Lord, who has the Holy Spirit. So I wouldn't necessarily say they were preparing for succession, even though some of the people which were chosen, some of the people which were chosen also transitioned into the position of apostleship, for instance, looking at Stephen amongst other people, which was both an apostle as well as an evangelist. So let me go back and finish up with this, that when you read the book of Acts chapter 1, you find that there were two guys which were nominated to refill the position, as the Bible says when you read for St. Peter. It is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. And he says, quoting the book of Psalms again, may another take his place of leadership.
Okay.
You know, so they chose the men. But then what is interesting is that after nominating the men, then they had to cast lots.
Okay.
So that it may be the Lord who decides who becomes part of the 12. Because now, if they needed to then run an election, just campaign,
okay,
as though we are politicians.
Yeah.
You know. So we don't operate that way as a church.
Okay.
There are no elections. And then let's choose this one because it's got a better car. Let's choose this one because it's got a good height. You know. In the same way, that is why when you read back, the story of David. David was chosen, yet he was not the one who has, you know, that
authority. Yes.
You know? So it's very important for us to understand these things. When we are preparing for succession, we don't know who God is going to choose.
Okay.
We cannot say, I say, I'm starting to train my son. I want him to take over. That is not the plan.
Okay.
That is not the plan. That is your plan. We don't know whether that is the divine plan. So, and we've seen this in many cases where a minister, a pastor, says, "Well, I'm training my son.
Okay.
I'm taking my son to Bible school because I want him to take over the reins. Because I worked so hard developing this ministry. Therefore, I cannot just allow a stranger. I cannot just allow Umkhosa or Umtswana or Mosotho to take over the reins of the ministry. The reins of this ministry must remain here. You know, this person must have my blood. This person must have my surname. That is not the plan of God. That is the plan of man.
Okay. No. Tell me, Murud. There are people whom, like, the person said, okay, I've been traveling with Patrick Mundevele for a long time.
All right.
And I believe that he knows the way I do things.
Yeah.
And then I want him
to
step in.
Yeah, but who wants him to step in?
That's me.
You see, that would be you as an individual, as a person. Then, that is why then the Bible says to us, we must present all these our concerns to God, so that, you know, at the end of the day, let the word of the Lord be true and every man a liar. What does that mean? It means that after you have decided what you wish and what you want in your heart, take it to God and see if it matches the will and the purpose of God.
Okay.
Because sometimes God can choose somebody that you did not even think of. You know, to take over the rule, the reins, you know, of the ministry, the reins of the local church, You know, so sometimes our wishes can be in conflict with the wishes, or rather the will of God. Okay. And if the wishes of men are in conflict with the will of God, we still have to go with the will of God.
Okay.
We still have to go with the will of God.
All right. So we'll now tell me. As we said, Gori, you mentioned something, Gori, the pastor is not selected.
He's not elected.
No, we don't elect.
We don't elect.
Or Norman, we are electing a pastor or something.
Yes.
Now is the pastor who is what? Who is?
We can nominate. If I were to have a scenario where I feel that now I want to retire in the ministry.
Yes.
Ngizele nginabantwana, I've got sons and daughters. In the ministry, as well as lapeng laka in the family, and I feel that now, whether I'm frail or I just feel that it's time for me to pass on the baton to the next generation, I can present that to the leadership structure of the church.
Okay.
I present that to say, gentlemen, men of valor. I feel that now it's time for me to hand over the baton to the one who still has the vigor to run. You know. So when I present that, there needs to be a time of reflection, a time of prayer, and a time of nomination. I must also allow the leadership of the church to also help in terms of nominating the people they strongly believe. That he should, or rather the person that they strongly believe that should take over the reins of the church. If they choose one person, if they nominate one person, automatically we still have to take it to God in prayer and then lay hands on that person if God approves. If it's more than one person, then as we see it happening in the book of Acts, that is where then you go back into reflection and prayer and also casting the lot. That's something we never really teach much about. You know, they never said, okay, Rona re 11. Okay, Kaubani re 11. I get a Judas, you know, committee le suicide. So, Kaubani Rona re 11. You know what? Nah, when I look at him, Rona Arno, there's an election.
Yeah,
okay. So, if there cannot be an equal here because it's either you choose five, six, etc.
Yeah.
You know, but they did not do that. The Bible is very specific, where they cast lots.
Okay.
And the lots fell on Matthias, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yes, yes.
You know, yeah, the Bible says, when you read the book of Acts chapter 1, reading verse 23, 24 to 26, the Bible says, so they nominated two men. They nominated.
Okay.
They nominated.
It makes sense, yeah.
Joseph called Barsabbas, or also Justus. And Matthias as well. And the Bible says, then they prayed.
Okay.
They prayed even before the nomination.
Okay.
After the nomination again, they also prayed.
Pray, yes.
Seeking direction and guidance from the Lord.
Okay.
And the Bible says, they prayed saying, Lord, you know everyone. You know everyone's heart. Show us, let it be you, God, who show us of these two you have chosen. So the choosing belongs to God.
Okay.
The nomination can belong to us. You know. So now, verse 25, the Bible says, to take over this apostolic ministry, with which Judas left to go where he belongs. That's a story for another day.
Yeah.
Judas went where he belongs. Anyway, verse 26, the Bible says, then they cast lots. Azambari, okay, fine.
Fine.
It's election time.
Okay.
When I'm your mom, hi. Naginyaga Matthias Gaubani, Matthias Hapeki Kikazinyak. When now Nyagama, Awa, Naginyaga Joseph Gaubani, at least Joseph Unali voice a call. When now Nyagama, I Naginyaga Matthias Gaubani Matthias Yanona Lintu a call. Okay. You know. So they did not do that. And we don't see that happening in the scripture.
Yeah.
We don't see the scripture in the scripture where there is an election.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, if there are elections, they have to be campaigns. Rona jwale ka bana ba Modimo, thina njengabantwana ba kaNkulunkulu, asihambi ngalolo hlelo ngaleyo ndlela.
Okay.
Okwethu we leave it to God to decide. So one of the ways in which we allow God to decide is casting lots. Now, the lots, the Bible says, the lots, they fell on Matthias. Okay. And therefore, automatically, I more in a safe bonal or have a gema.
So I hear you, Murutu. So now, this succession, I think I have seen people making it not to be understandable. There was no track record. Remember, the Bible says Jesus had a track record. Like, you were able to know. Somebody was saying, well, he's the son of Joseph the carpenter. Now, there are some whom they are on succession, but there is no track record of them. So, but they are in that process. Now, continue.
Someone who just springs out, or rather mushrooms out. We don't find that in the scripture.
Okay.
Yeah, we only find that in the will of man. We don't find that in the will of God.
Okay.
You know, track record is very necessary. Kufanele ukuba simbonile lo muntu going through the ranks to some extent. You know, obviously, the prophetic office is different because you know, that's a story for another day. We can look at that. You know, but now listen to this: the book of Acts, chapter 1, reading verse 21 and 22.
Yeah,
talking about. Ukuthi kungavela umuntu nje esingamazi uvele ngilanda i-cousin yami ele ePulukwane ngilanda i-cousin yami from kaigai mafatse to say tlo o motswalle waka o tlo ba muruti mo hape re tloka muruti muruti o tloka fetse jwale ka bana wena le diverse wa ditsebanyana. That is not in the will and the purpose of God. Because listen to what the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 21-22 says. It says, therefore, this is Peter speaking. He says, therefore, it is necessary. Say it with me.
It is necessary.
It is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us. The whole time the Lord Jesus was living amongst us. Umuntu. Who has a track record? Rimone, Rizamaile Lien, we witnessed with him. Someone to some extent who has gone through the ranks. You know, because that person knows. It's an illegal miracle. Sometimes there was a lady that did not perform very well in the police ministry because she was never a police before and she never understood anything about police. And now she was a minister of police or something of that sort. You know, but if you understand the basics, if you have been walking, remember Joshua walked with Moses. Even though Joshua was not a prophet at the time, he was a soldier, but he saw how Moses would conduct ministry. And therefore, he received a necessary mentorship, so to say. So, umuntu ovele vumbuke nje singamazi ukuthi uqhamukapi. Uhamba hamba abe inkinga, because the Bible says to us, don't choose somebody who is a novice. This is now Paul speaking to Timothy, and also to Titus, you know, the pastoral epistles. Don't choose somebody who is just simply new. Lo muntu uqhamuka izolo. Mawubane fela. Jwale ka ubane unalindlu enhle. Ka ubane he's got the height, he's got the looks, he's got the body, and now simply you can, you know, it's very necessary for us mfundisi to also look at the track record. It's very necessary.
So now, when you check in the whole world, some other areas, some other places, you can see this succession thing, it ran through the family. I mean, we can name few, but we're not going to name, but you can see that it ran through the families. Even if somebody is not called, but because he's being, I mean, that's what I've been checking already. Some they don't have the spirit of leading, or what can I say? The because the Bible tells us in Acts that they should have the Holy Spirit. So, but some they are into that, but they don't have the qualities of seeing or this. So in that case, what must happen?
because whilst others are making disciples, others, for lack of a better word, they choose to make, you know, what we refer to as a legacy.
Okay.
Other people are concerned about disciples. Other people are concerned about legacy.
Legacy, yes.
Yeah. My personal legacy. Me, my footprint. Whilst other people are concerned about the footprint of God. So now, I'm saying that because now, when you have a son that is not called into ministry,
okay,
and you decide to still choose him to take over the reins of ministry, it can be it can be very wrong for the ministry. The ministry can collapse, even though you know sometimes the ministry can collapse once the numbers are growing.
True.
Yeah. So for people which do that, I strongly believe that through the waves of the airwaves, you know, they need to really reflect and say, did I choose or did God choose?
Okay.
Did I approve or did God approve?
Okay.
You know, because everything that we do must have the footprint of God, must have the fingerprint of God, must have the stamp of God. If it does not have the stamp of God, no matter how big is that ministry, you know, you can preach mightily, etc., etc., and lead people to heaven, whilst you yourself will still find a detour to the other place. I don't want to mention, you know, but it's very important for us to know what ibandla akulona business.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a family business.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a family business. Ibandla ngelika Christu Jesu. It's his church. And ukuthi choose abani, it should matter. That is why, you know, sometimes the issue is money, Mfundisi. Let's be honest.
Yes. It's true. The issue is money.
The issue is money. When sometimes it's money as well as emotions. Right. When the man of God ubewa evuka, developing the church, sacrificing from his own pocket, sacrificing monies which were meant for his children's varsity fees.
Yes, yes.
Sacrificing monies which were meant for ama week gangoskazi. Uthathe imali ama week gangoskazi namakwaikwai uyahamba, making sure ukuthi he's paying the rent, making sure ukuthi he's paying the tent, making sure ukuthi the sound system is okay and the cameras and everything and the chairs.
It's okay, yes.
You know? So now, through all that, then he passes on, and there is so much emotional attachment sometimes to the wife, sometimes to the children. Ukuthi ubaba usebenze kanzima esebenzela leli bandla, a developer leli bandla, as a founder. Therefore, we cannot just allow a total stranger, a Joshua, to come and take over the reins, because there's money involved, because there is also, so to say, sentimental value, which is emotional attachment to something that totally was not belonging to you as a family from the first place.
Okay.
It belonged to Christ. You were only there to serve as a one deployed. We are going to find another Amakadas. Bantu be politic. But bang Amakadas. Now, I'm a comrades. They know what you are deployed. You are sent.
Yeah.
And you can be recalled.
Okay.
you are sent by God and you can be recalled. So it comes back to saying, then I am a founder. Sometimes it can bring about some sort of, for lack of a better word, sense of ownership to the family. Once it shouldn't be that way. We've seen ministries where you can see through the eyes of the Spirit that the son maybe he's a great footballer, maybe he's a great motivational speaker, maybe he's a great, you know, music minister, but he was then shoved to this very uncomfortable position. The position he can't play. It's not his supernatural position that he's playing. But he's forced because the family members gathered together and said, we got to keep this at home because there are financial...
stability.
There's financial stability. There's some profits involved. Mm. So as a result, they may end up keeping it a family home. Or rather, a family business. A family church, it is not the church of Jesus Christ. A family. The son. Sometimes God can choose somebody who is not even related to you, who does not even speak the same language as you. Look at Joshua. Joshua was not related to
Moses.
To Moses, to Aaron. Ubekho no Aaron ephila. But the finger of God pointed at Joshua. And Joshua was not even a minister before. He was a soldier. But he was there looking at Moses behind the scenes. Sometimes God can choose the people which were working behind the scenes. Whilst we are expecting God to choose the people which were on the front lines. Sometimes we are expecting the Lord to choose the assistant pastor and he doesn't. Sometimes God can choose the wife. It can happen as well. Provided she is called into that ministry and the finger of the Lord had pointed upon her. If it pointed upon her, it's okay, even if she had never preached before. But if it is the Lord which had pointed his finger upon her, we must embrace and we must throw our support over her. And we must pray for her and assist her whenever she needs assistance. So that's the reason why then, when you read the book of Joshua chapter 8, the people decided and they said to Joshua, we will follow you. We will follow your instructions. The way we followed the instructions of Moses. Because we now see and we now know that you have been called by God and the finger of the Lord pointed upon you. But here is something that I believe is very important for the church to have and to know. Have a document that speaks about the succession plan of the church. You know, we can bring about, if you allow, we can bring about, some pointers that people can look at. You know, that number one, when the pastor has died, that's not a time for you to choose the next leadership as yet. That's the time to mourn. Little Bible, when you read the book of Deuteronomy 34, little Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy 34, little, the people, emvakokushona kaMoses, when Moses died, the Bible says, the people took time to grieve. When you read the book of Deuteronomy 34, verse 8, the Bible says, the Israelites grieved for Moses. In the plains of Moab, 30 days for this, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. So once the pastor has died, it's not the time yet to simply and quickly choose the next leadership. That's the time for you to express grief, to mourn, to cry when you have to cry, and then heal from the time of mourning. Once that period of mourning is over, then that is where you can start the process of saying, now we are entering into a new season of prayer, where we are praying now for God to point his finger on the next person who is going to take the baton and continue to run faithfully, as the man of God or the woman of God had run before. Even if we have somebody in the picture of our mind, because how kwala mahlo wanahana ore ya mara watseba ke Pastor Mugwena, Pastor Smelane can do a great job. But that's you, that's your thinking. Now we must make sure that our thinking is turned away and allowing God to be the one who gives us the next instruction as to what to do now. So number one, after the departure of the pastor through perhaps death, it's time for, if he's still alive, it's time for reflection. If he is dead, it's time for us to mourn. For a period of time, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. You know, the church can obviously decide on that.
Mm.
You know, so number one, as a church succession plan,
mm-hmm.
in your document, number one, stipulate the time of mourning. Zinigezeni thuba lokuzila lokukhala. Niphinde ninikeze ithuba. Number two, now the time, this is the time of weeping, or rather mourning, or rather reflection if he's still alive. Number two, take time to now take it to the Lord in prayer.
Okay.
Yeah. As we see in the book of Acts chapter 1. They prayed. They were praying in the upper room. Whilst Judas had already committed suicide, they were praying. Reflect in prayer. Number three, after you have prayed, that is where you come back and say, okay, you have fasted and prayed, now you nominate. As you nominate, sometimes it can happen that you nominate the same person, all of you.
Yes.
As the leadership, you nominate this. If that is the case, then you go back to God and you thank God that it is clear.
Yeah.
But if it is not clear, sometimes it can happen that out of 10 elders, you find that one person elected another and the nine elected another.
Yes.
If it is so, we don't take majority.
Okay.
We go back to what? We go back to now casting the lots.
Okay.
Not election.
Mm.
Where people go and campaign.
Okay.
But you're casting the lots.
Mm.
Because we see that being demonstrated in the scripture. Because we don't see elections being demonstrated in the scripture when it comes to the election. Even the kings were not elected as we elect our politicians now. So we must make sure that we don't mirror the political structures and processes to the church.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. So okay. So in other words, we can say, as I said earlier, succession is very important.
Yes, sir.
Like, somebody must do it while the is no longer, while he's still fit.
You know, who want to hold on to the leadership until they die.
Yeah.
No mese bono kutaya rasa koni man. Usekulile impela manje. Usekulile useyikhethe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kodwa usasiqoqobele isitulo.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
We know that we don't necessarily retire in ministry,
yes,
because
yes.
Once the finger, remember, izwi lenkosi likhuluma lamazwi ukuthi the gifts of the Lord, unkulunkulu akayithathi gift.
Okay.
You know, once he gives the gift, it's there. We know that, but it's good ukuthi whilst you are still alive, you hand over the baton so that you can get an opportunity to mentor the person who carries the baton now.
Okay.
You can't say utabona lamhlangishwile but I bona or batswa jwang. No.
Ya nung itlaba umvango vena.
Ah, kuzoba yimpi phela. It's going to be war. Because now other people will feel that the Lord is saying my son must take over. While sometimes it's not the Lord saying it, it's the emotions. Because sometimes we need to be careful as to whether it is the spirit of the Lord or the emotions. Is it the spirit of the Lord or the sensation? Is it the spirit of the Lord or the word of man? Because sometimes through great narratives, abanye abantu bakhuluma kahle, they are able to speak well. You can even choose them thinking is the Lord saying so.
Yes.
Because ushumayele kahle this person last Sunday, and you decide to choose that person because you are ruled by now what? Sensation and emotion. While sometimes you're not led by the spirit of the Lord. So it's very important for us that at all times we are able to, as the church, be taught about these things. And now, if you are a senior, we are not permanently in these senior positions of pastorship. Prepare a way. Let the people in the church know ukuthi what must happen when I die. If you wake up on a Sunday morning and there's an RIP with my picture on it, the leadership of the church.
Oh!
Okay, that was Keke Pofolo. Now the time is 21:48 CET, Central African time. What I'm going to do right now, we are just going to wrap up Nade Muruti, and thereafter we will be leaving you. Muruti, welcome back.
Amen.
Yes. I want us just, Muruti, just to wrap up or summarize what we've been talking about, and thereafter we will be leaving everyone.
Amen. Ai, asibingelele futhi basalwane. Re adumedisa hape lebitso le matla la Jesu Kriste wa Nazareth. Kannete bana beso, the issue of succession in the church can be a rough transition. It's not usually smooth, be it the senior pastor retires or the senior pastor has gone to be with the Lord, or perhaps he has been excommunicated. And there is a pain that is always left behind, more especially for the wife. So just before I wrap up, I just want to touch on that. I just want to touch on these two, the wife and the incoming pastor.
Okay.
Because we were looking at the outgoing pastor,
mm-hmm.
but we also need to look at the incoming pastor. The type of pressure that he comes across,
mm-hmm.
Where people have been used to the senior pastor and now he's no more, and he has to fill these very big shoes, of the senior pastor. And here he's young, sometimes without an experience, and he needs us to embrace him and to support him and to also pray for him and also guide him here and there, because the finger of the Lord has chosen him. So now, I just wanted to touch on that, Fuliswami, with your permission.
Okay.
That, it's very important that as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
you separate the assets that belong to your family and the assets that belong to the church.
Okay.
So that when you are no more,
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be war of assets.
Okay.
Where the church and the wife and the kids
mm-hmm.
and the pastors are confused whether actually the building belongs to your family or it belongs to the church, where the cars belong to, they are inherited by the wife and kids or they are inherited by the church. The sofas, the keyboards, the cameras and everything. So there must be, it's good to have the spreadsheet of the assets that belong to the church, and have this. You don't need a spreadsheet for the things that belong to the family, but for the church as an entity, as an organism, as a body of Christ, let there be that clarity, so that when you are no more, we will know whether the house, this is the mission house, or this was your house. Because now here comes the incoming pastor, and your widow must now vacate. Together with her children, must vacate the mission house.
Yeah, stuff.
Must give the cars to the incoming pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult because now the pastor did not make a plan for transition in terms of his family now.
Mm.
The widow and the kids, they have no place to go.
Mm.
They have no car to drive except the ones they were driving, which are the church cars, not their cars. So now, when you read the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, you find a story there of a widow.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, a wife of a man from a company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, the word of the Lord says, I quote, your servant, my husband, is dead.
Yeah.
And you know that he revered the Lord.
Okay.
But now his creditors, now his creditors, the creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.
Yes.
Sometimes it's not the two boys, it's the two houses.
Yes.
Sometimes it's not the two boys, it can be many things. So we must be strategic and be full of wisdom as the body of Christ, more especially as the leaders.
Okay.
Even more especially as the senior pastors of churches.
Mm.
Where we don't just have the humility of a dove, but we also have the wisdom of the snake.
Okay.
The boldness of the lion as well.
Mm.
By that I am saying, let there be wisdom in terms of you knowing this house does not belong to me. This house is a ministry house. Mm-hmm. It was built by the church. Mm-hmm. Therefore, when I leave, my wife, which will be the widow at that time, might be expected to leave, and mm-hmm. the incoming pastor might need to come in with his wife, and the cars are not mine, the mm-hmm. cars are the church's cars. You know, so these, there must be a clear distinction there.
Okay.
It's part yeah. of the succession plan document okay. of the church, yeah. so that there may be no confusion when you pass on. So I was looking at the widow, the wife of a pastor,
okay.
if the pastor is male. Mm. Now let's touch as well, Mfundisi, on the incoming pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once the pastor has been selected,
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to use the word elected,
mm-hmm.
because there's nomination and then there's lots,
mm-hmm.
Which are cast. Now, the incoming pastor, the church must be prepared.
Okay.
When I'm saying the church must be prepared, I'm saying we must prepare mm-hmm. the church to say whomsoever the Lord chooses.
Mm-hmm.
In a transition process, we must be able to accept, even if we did not prefer.
Mm.
Yeah, but we must be able to accept.
Mm.
And we must be able to obey, even if he is younger mm. than how the senior pastor was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if maybe he's not as educated, even if maybe he's not as gifted.
Mm.
You know, Moses was the greatest and Joshua was not the greatest.
Mm.
So you can imagine the pressure that comes with the junior pastor, where there's so much expectations.
Mm. Mm.
He's supposed to fill these very big shoes. No, but now we must embrace, mm. we must throw our support over him, and we must make sure that, you know, we allow him the transition process as well to get rid, you know, of some of the things, and also to start the process of leading the church. He'll get some mistakes here and there along the way, but if we throw our support and we really encourage him, mm-hmm. things are going to come all right.
Mm.
Reskaria, vele nakibono re aona halu nakibono ra aona hape upalelwa ku kora le message haya ina structure kuruno these things they can suffocate a blessing over our lives when we do so.
Okay.
To encapsulate everything that we've spoken about,
yeah.
If you are there at home and you are listening, you are a senior pastor mm-hmm. of the church, I would encourage you that you speak as well to the church.
Yeah.
You speak to the churches which are under your leadership about developing some form of a succession plan document,
yeah.
so that the church would not be in the dark, so that the leadership structure,
mm-hmm.
be it the leadership committee, mm-hmm. might not be in the dark when you are gone. Because,
yeah.
You can go unexpectedly,
mm.
and we'll say it was totally unprecedented. Of course it is,
mm.
you know, but we must always be prepared that when we depart, umsebenzi kaNkulunkulu mushumo wa mudimo usaweli fathi.
Yes. Yes.
You must look at the runners, those which are running the relay.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Abana seli fela the baton.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just throw the baton. They make
mm-hmm.
sure mm-hmm. that you grab the baton,
yeah.
and they run with you for a period of time,
yeah.
to make sure that you have totally made grasp
okay.
of the baton.
Mm-hmm.
Once they are sure that you are running, you are confident, and you've got the baton with you. Because another person can run fast, but the baton is with the fast.
Mm.
You know, so it's very important for us when and it would be encourageable as well. You know, Moses prayed for Joshua whilst Joshua was still alive and Moses was still alive.
Mm.
So pray to God to show you and to give you wisdom as to how the transition process should be, and communicate that process as the Lord has given you the ability, or rather has given you the revelation of how the transition process is going to be. Communicate it to your leadership structure, and if possible, let it be recorded.
Mm.
If possible, let it be recorded as a document, or rather as an audio, and let it be distributed as well, so that the church cannot be in the dark and cannot be confused and cannot have assumptions which are human by nature, to say, well, by human nature the son must take over. It is not always the case. If your son is good in working behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your son can be a good keyboardist.
Yes.
Sometimes your son can be a good IT specialist,
yes,
in the
yes,
ministry.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes.
It's all right.
Mm.
And if the finger of the Lord points at your wife,
mm-hmm.
it is still okay.
Okay.
You know. But we must not allow ourselves
mm.
to be the ones which are choosing for the sake of our family benefits. That is why then there must be a separation of the finances. And as well, there must be inheritance for the wife and kids, so that they don't have to depend strictly on the church after you are gone. You are the husband. If you are the senior pastor of the church and you married, you are the husband. The church is not her husband. You are her husband. So she must not suffer your death because you were too dedicated in the church that you were not dedicated to her. There are so many widows which are having it hard. Widows, Baba Ruth, at times, because we did not, we were too married to the church. To the point where we neglected our primary marriage. And as a result, we find ourselves, once we are gone, there is suffering in the home. As we see it happening here in the book of Second Kings. Uthilo Nkosikazi, as I drive to a close, Uthilo Nkosikazi, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys and his slaves, as his slaves. Let's not allow that to happen. Let's make the transition process of the church to be smooth. And let's make the succession plan of the church to be visible to the people which are in the church. Let it be communicated. And let us not choose our sons. Let us choose the servants of God. If the servant of God is your son, then fine. But he must be a servant of God first. And we must hear from the Lord. We must not choose them because they are our sons. But we must choose them because they are chosen by God. There's a difference. Now, if the Lord points a finger at my son, it's okay. It's okay. It does not mean if you are a son of a pastor, you cannot be chosen to lead the ministry moving forward. But you must make sure that you are not chosen because you are a son. You must be chosen because the Lord has chosen you as a minister and as a person who is going to make take the church from one level to another. And it must not be the issue of numbers. It must be the issues of souls. It must not be the issues of individuals. It must be the issues of you knowing that the Lord has chosen you into this very high responsibility, where you need to sacrifice some of the family things. You have to sacrifice your time as a wife, with your wife and kids sometimes, quality time. But at the end of the day, if it is God who said it, then it is right. But if there's no footprint of God, then it is not right. So I also want to just end with those words to say, allow the Lord to be the one who rules all the affairs of the church. Amen.
Yeah, so we would like to leave you right now. This topic is still big. It's tough. It's still big. We haven't done, but we have done our part tonight. I just want to thank Muruti Patrick Mandebele, and I want to thank each and everyone who's been listening to us. I'm leaving you with the song that is saying Merciful God by Elijah Oyelede. Continue to listen to By the Grace Radio. We are 3 years. We're just celebrating 3 years in some days or so. And we're going to buy a 3-year cake, a big cake, where everybody who is listening to us, wherever you are, you can be able to get a piece of cake. So if you keep on listening, it will come remotely to you, and then you will see it on your desk. We love you so much. God bless you. We are leaving you now with this song.